Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as we move on, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family and the standing between the living and the dead service family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast. This is episode number 503. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the passage from the Word of God that the Prince of Preachers chose for our devotional time today is Hosea chapter 14, verse 8. The Bible reads, pardon me, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him, and pardon me, I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Grant us the unction and the anointing, the freedom and the liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit to understand your holy word and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And Dr. Spurgeon goes on to share regarding this passage as only he can. As only he could. Our fruit is found from our God as to union. The fruit of the branch is directly traceable to the root. Sever the connection, the branch dies, and no fruit is produced. By virtue of our union with Christ, we bring forth fruit. Every bunch of grapes has been first in the root. It has passed through the stem and flowed through the sap vessels and fashioned itself externally into fruit. But it was first in the stem. So also every good work was first in Christ. May I repeat that in your hearing? Every good work was first in Christ. And by the way, this is, and I'm adding this, this is why we cannot take any credit for any good thing that is done, because it was first in Christ. And then Dr. Spurgeon goes on, and then as he says, is brought forth in us. O Christian, prize this precious union to Christ, for it must be the source of all of the fruitfulness which thou canst hope to know. And may I add, that those great ideas you get regarding the service of the Lord and ministry, all that comes from Christ, not from us. It begins in Him. If thou wert not joined to Jesus Christ, thou wouldest be a barren bow indeed. Our fruit comes from God as to spiritual providence. When the dewdrops fall from heaven, when the cloud looks down from on high and is about to distill its liquid treasure, when the bright sun swells the berries of the cluster, each heavenly boon may whisper to the tree and say, "From me is thy fruit found." The fruit owes much to the root that is essential to fruitfulness, but it owes very much also to external influences. How much we owe to God's grace, providence, in which He provides us constantly with quickening, teaching, consolation, strength, or whatever else we need and want. To this we owe our all of usefulness or virtue. Our fruit comes from God as to wise husbandry, the gardener's sharp edged knife promotes the fruitfulness of the tree by thinning the clusters and by cutting off superfluous fruits. So is it, Christian, with that pruning which the Lord gives to thee, that cutting away, that rebuking, that chastising. Our Father in heaven is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That means, and I'm adding this, the rebukes of the Lord. When the Lord chastises you by breaking the fellowship off, not the relationship, not the connection, but the fellowship. That's the initial chastisement. And it's a miserable feeling. When He does more in the way of chastisement, that's God pruning you, cutting away that which is evil and that which is no good. And the Lord, He'll cut you down to size so that you will bear fruit. He will humble you. He will cause you to go down. So that one day you can rise up and bear fruit. God will rebuke you. God will chastise you. And God will do you like He did Peter, when Jesus told him, "Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But when you recover, when you come back," and I'm praying for you, "I want you to strengthen your brethren." How many of you God has done that? You didn't know what was happening. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know why everything was happening the way it happened. But God allowed you to go through some tribulations and some troubles and some trials. And He brought you through His prayers and His working. And all of a sudden, He uses you to help tens, hundreds, thousands, and even millions to be strengthened in the Lord. That's our God for you. So you might be going through a cutting process right now, but He's cutting you and pruning you and taken out the trash, so to speak, the garbage, the pride, the humility, the pride and the rebelliousness, and making you to understand how you need to be humble so that you can help others, so that you can comfort others. It's an amazing thing what God has done and is doing. Since our God is the author of our spiritual graces, let us give to Him all the glory and all the praise of our salvation. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Help others to do the same. For your pruning, for your cutting, for your rebuking, for your chastising. Many of them do not understand what's going on right now. How you're breaking them down to rise up again to be a blessing to tens, hundreds, thousands, and millions, to comfort many people who need your comfort, and to strengthen the brethren and the sistren for your glory, praise, and honor, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death. To these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your 10 commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time.